September 11, 2001, seared the American soul. Big budget disaster movie images suddenly transformed into horrific reality before our eyes, as commercial jets were turned into missiles that crashed into the Twin Towers that represented the apex of American commerce and international cooperation. Fireballs vaporized steel, crumbled concrete, and towers fell, dooming thousands of cubicled innocents and the hundreds of people who came to help them. Soon thereafter, a plane directed by hatred crashed into our Pentagon, the very symbol of our military power. And another plane, owing to the self-sacrificial courage of four men, crashed in a cornfield in Pennsylvania. Besides the lives lost, we lost something else that day. We lost our sense of invulnerability. We assumed that the destruction that swirled around other places in the world could not reach us. And that day we learned that we were wrong. That day shook the very foundations of our world. I remember in the wake of that dark day, there were those who cried out, "Where is God? Surely a merciful and loving God should have acted to thwart those missions of hatred. Surely a good and merciful God should have heard those anguished prayers of those people as they whispered I love yous to their loved ones as they were hurtling toward destruction. Surely a loving and merciful God should have provided some miraculous deliverance. The fact that God did not, said some, says that either God is not real or God is too uncaring or indifferent to be truly worshiped. Where is God? A God who would allow for the shaking of the foundations of the world is not a God that can be called good. So goes the argument. But Isaiah anticipated that argument centuries before. Isaiah said, have the courage and maturity to realize that our God has brought into being a creation that allows for the foundations of the world to be shaken. Our God allows for a world where chaos can erupt into it. In fact, our God designs our powers of faith to take shape within the crucible of chaos. It is precisely within the crucible and context of chaos that our faith becomes its most powerful and most necessary. The ancient Hebrews knew that when their world was shattered, when their Jerusalem was destroyed and their temple was reduced to rubble, and many of their population were exiled to Babylon, in the crucible of that chaos, their anguished holy men sat down and put their sacred traditions into print so they could retain their sense of identity and definition. Much of what we call the Old Testament came into being during that exile. And as they reflected upon the fact that everything they knew, everything they cherished had been destroyed, the foundations of their earth had been shaken, one of their holy men penned these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God. It was a word of reassurance to a people uprooted, to a people lost, with all having lost their context. God established the foundations of this earth. And in God we can trust. When Christ began the nascent movement that would begin to infiltrate the Roman Empire, and both Jewish and Roman authorities conspired to squelch it, a holy man penned these words of assurance: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without this Word was not anything made that was made." When the persecution of the early church became so oppressive that its very existence was threatened, a holy man penned this assurance: "Our salvation has been secured in the mind of God by the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world." As we drink in the chaos caused by 9/11, as we reflect upon its reverberations, our scriptures call us to cling to that assurance penned by Paul: "I am certain that not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come, not height, not depth, not anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." In the midst of chaos, we're meant to be cast back upon the bedrock eternal truths of our faith. Now, we live in another time of chaos, a pandemic that has killed far more people than 9/11. A pandemic that is so insidious because it attacks the very instinct basic to humanity. Because whether the enterprise is business or athletics or entertainment or education or worship, all of these things depend upon answering the human instinct to gather, to convene, to commune. And that is the very instinct threatened by this virus. And it is so insidious because it speaks to the very heart of what we think human community should be. We feel this fundamental tension between wanting to gather and wanting to save ourselves and our loved ones. And that tension brings our world into chaos. But remember, the scripture has something to say about chaos. Genesis reminds us that our Lord fashioned creation out of chaos. That our Lord pushed back the primeval waters of chaos, the formless void, and created a realm of order and structure and beauty. A realm where human history could happen. Where communication between creatures could take place. Where truth could be pursued. Where love could be felt. And the eternal could be adored. God wrought all of that out of chaos. But the biblical writers were not afraid to note that God has allowed chaos a place in the created order. In fact, God summoned the primeval waters of chaos to swell up and to water the desert earth. And the biblical writers recognize that God allowed chaos in our human lives, even as a tool of divine judgment. Chaos undermines a false but almost universal human assumption that our lives, our possessions, the structure of our existence, it's fixed and immutable. No. No. Everything changes. In an instant, what we think of as ours, what we think of as fixed and immutable, can be changed by chaos in a moment. The kingdoms that we regard as rooted, as established by human hands and permanent, the scriptures say no. No, empires rise and fall. Societies crumble. Worlds fall to the ground like drunken men, never to rise again. The grass withers, the flower fades, but only the word of the Lord endures forever. Chaos reminds us that all that we think of as being fixed and immutable is actually in flux. Only God endures. And we know that humanity also brings its share of chaos into the world. God has allowed humanity the intelligence to think God's thoughts after it, after God, and to unlock the keys of the universe. And we've seen, just in the way that scientists have committed themselves to creating a vaccine that can save millions of lives, how we can unlock the keys of creation for the good. But we also have the potential to find those keys and use them for ill. I think of Robert Oppenheimer, the atomic scientist who explained to President Truman's Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, a very old man, the existence of the atomic bomb. And Oppenheimer wondered if the old man understood what he was saying. And the old man did. He scribbled in his notes, "This could save civilization or destroy it. It could be an instrument for world peace or a Frankenstein. Save or destroy, established or undermine." That's the very creaturely creativity that God has given to us to bring goodness and light, or death and evil. The people of hatred who smashed those planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and that Pennsylvania field, they were trying to exercise the power of darkness and evil. But if we are people of faith, if we are ambassadors for Christ, then we're called not to cynicism, not to despair, not to paralyzed frustration, not to rage. We're called to reorient our lives around the eternal verities of God. And we're called to live lives of light that draw others to orient their lives around those verities. The psalmist said amidst chaos, sure, the earth trembles. Sure, empires rise and fall. Sure, everything is in flux. But Lord, you have established that foundation of the earth. Your days are without end. Empires rise and fall like fashions. You just change their clothes. But you, O Lord, your days are without end. Your kingdom is permanent and real and eternal. In the days after 9/11, what came to my mind was a children's story penned by C.S. Lewis. It was a story where two children find themselves in a dead kingdom, and there is a bell and a tablet and a hammer. And on the tablet were these words, "Make your choice, adventurous stranger, strike the bell and bide the danger, or wonder if it drives you mad, what would have happened if you had." One kid can't help himself. He strikes the bell. And soon they are confronted by a beautiful giant queen. Strong, but vicious. And it is she who has brought this world that they are in to deadness because she dared to speak the deplorable word, a word that had been known for generations in that world, but the wise would never speak it. But she, in her anger, when her reign was threatened, spoke the deplorable word and brought everything to death, save her. As I pondered that smoking rubble in New York City and thought of the lives crushed beneath the stones, I thought there are indeed those in this world who are willing to speak the deplorable word. But we are called to speak the word made flesh, the gospel of the word made flesh. We're called to speak of the word whose life was light, and that light is the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot conquer it. Over against the many in this world who would speak the deplorable word of destruction, we are to articulate the good news of the word made flesh. The kingdom that represents goodness and truth and peace and reconciliation and joy and faith and love. We are meant to be warriors of the light. And if 9/11 impressed nothing else upon us, it should have impressed that we're meant to live with a largeness of faith. We serve a cosmic God who has emitted a cosmic spirit and gives us cosmic energy, not just to address the burdens of our own lives, but to transform the world in which we live. We're meant to be representatives of the eternal kingdom of God. And when our strength fails, we are called by that God to turn our eyes back to the hills whence cometh our eternal strength. May we pray together. Lord, it is true that sometimes our world's foundations are shaken. It is true that what we sometimes think of as fixed and immutable, when we sometimes think of our own blessings as ours to keep in perpetuity, you remind us that our lives and all creation is in flux. Only you are permanent. But you call us to serve you and to serve your everlasting truths, that we might be incorporated into your life and we might shine our light in a darkness so that the darkness cannot overcome it. May we remain true to that calling through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.